Hi, I'm Josh, and welcome to the Wild Nature Photography Podcast, the podcast that talks the art and craft of nature photography. It is the 18th of June, 2023, and this is podcast number 76. And the topic of this podcast is going to be my thoughts and impressions on the scouting trip that I just completed to Barrow, Alaska for photographing Arctic birds. But just before I get to that, I guess just a little bit of a travel update on how things are going. So I'm currently in Dubai. I'm on my way back to Australia now. I've been on the road for getting close to 2 months now. I had a workshop to Africa, and then I had a week in Dubai and flew directly to Seattle, then from Seattle up to Anchorage, and then Anchorage up to Barrow, and I did the scouting trip for Arctic birds for the last 10 days. And I'm now in Dubai on, and I've got one more flight back to Australia tomorrow morning. So the return from Barrow was relatively smooth. I had to overnight again in Anchorage in what was probably the worst hotel I think I've ever stayed in my life. I'm not going to say it was inexpensive. It was actually quite expensive. All of the hotels in Anchorage actually were quite expensive, but this was a really, really bad hotel. Everything about it, the moment I walked in, it's the whole entire hotel smelt of weed. To the moment I left, there were people banging on doors at all hours of the night. It was dirty. It was unclean. It was actually pretty awful. But anyway, I'm now in Dubai in a much better hotel. And tomorrow I've got my last flight back to Melbourne, Australia. But I will have a full trip report on the scouting trip to Barrow, Alaska in the next couple of weeks. I'll have that up on my blog. But I wanted to just give a podcast and give a little bit of my thoughts and impressions on the scouting trip. So for those of you who are not aware, Barrow is a very, very small Inuit town at the very top of Alaska. It's very, very far north. So at this time of year, it's the midnight sun. The sun never truly sets, so it's 24-hour daylight in the town. The town itself is actually, let's not get ahead of ourselves here. Let's back up a little bit. So the purpose of this visit was to go to the town of Barrow to photograph Arctic birds that use the tundra surrounding the town to breed once a year. It's a very well-known location for Arctic birds, things like the Stella's Eider, the Spectacled Eider, the King Eider, the Arctic Loon, the Pacific Loon, common loon. These birds and many, many more use this tundra area to nest at this time of the year. They're there in their breeding plumage, so it's a fantastic time of the year to photograph them, and it's also a fantastic place just to be able to find and see these birds. Many of these birds are quite rare and endangered, and very, very hard to find and photograph these days. So the purpose of this visit was to literally go there to find and photograph these birds. Now, this is a location I'd been wanting to travel to for a very, very long time. And admittedly, I think I had some pretty high expectations of what I wanted to achieve. I was hoping to be able to run a future trip to Barrow, a future workshop, if you like, for bird photography. I'm not going to be doing that. There's a number of reasons for that. I'll talk about those in this podcast. The first of which is the town of Barrow itself, and that's perhaps now a good time to talk about the town. So, as I said, it's a small Inuit town. It's the most northerly town in Alaska. It's at the very, very top. I forget the latitude now, but it's 70-something degrees north. And as I said, the sun never truly sets this time of the year. This was, I'll be honest, a bit of a shock. The town itself is quite small, but it's also extremely run down and dilapidated. There are broken down vehicles, rusted out vehicles, abandoned everywhere in the town, broken down snowmobiles, broken down four-wheel drive ATV vehicles. Broken down, wrecked and abandoned just about everywhere you look. There is rubbish and trash just about everywhere you look in this town. There seems to be very, very little pride in appearance that people take in the homes that they have there. And all of this is really disappointing, actually. Unfortunately, I think what Barrow is a great example of where society has gone wrong when dealing with Inuit, Aboriginal people. It's the same case in Australia in the far north. This is a very, very sad indictment on society. And to be absolutely, totally honest, Barrow is a very, very depressing place. The town is, as I said, incredibly run down, incredibly dirty, and just not a very pleasant place to be. At least I didn't find it a very, very pleasant place to be. Now, there is a site guide to Barrow for birders that's been available for more than 10 years now. Now, this site guide is for sale. You can buy it online for $44. I'm not going to link to it because I feel that, well, first of all, the site guide is badly out of date, and I'll talk about that in a minute. But secondly, $44 is a lot of money for a digital PDF site guide, and I just don't think it's worth it. So if you're planning a trip there, I don't believe you need to purchase the site guide. It's just so far out of date now. There really is only one road that matters in Barrow if you want to photograph birds, and that's Kaikeita Road. And there are a number of small roads that run off that. But that's all you really need to know to find the birds up there to photograph them. Many of the restaurants that are referred to in the site guide are now closed. There are new ones, of course, but the old ones that are recommended are simply no longer there. King Ida Inn is still there, and that's where I stayed for the duration of my 10 days in Barrow. And it was fine. Yeah, as far as accommodation goes, it's very, very basic, but it was functional. It was relatively clean and very, very conveniently located, literally maybe 100 meters from the airport. So the accommodation was fine. There is a few other accommodation options in town, but if anyone is planning to go there, I think the King Ida Inn would get my recommendation for best place to stay in town. Just talking about infrastructure, I was getting full 4G cell coverage in the town of Barrow for the first couple of days until someone or somehow the cable that carries the telephony signal and cell coverage up in Barrow was cut, and we actually lost cell coverage and internet for the last 6 days of our time in Barrow. So no mobile phone access, no internet access. Thankfully, the King Ida Inn had a backup Starlink system, so we were still able to get some internet for our time that we were in Barrow. But just be aware of that. I think if you are going to Barrow for any length of time, I think it's a good idea to bring a satellite phone or some sort of backup system that doesn't necessarily rely on the cellular network for data, because apparently this is, although it's uncommon, I'm told, it's not the first time it's happened. So just be aware of that. Now, I had organized to rent a four-wheel drive for the 10 days I was in Barrow so that we would be able to drive around to find the birds to photograph them. The car I was delivered on checking into the inn was a Dodge Ram, which is a very, very large US pickup truck. That was fine. However, it had, I think, 10 years worth of mud on it on the inside and the outside and had never been cleaned. It was full of dust, full of mud. And that's okay. I didn't mind that so much. I can live with that based on the fact that other than a very small stretch of road up there, none of the roads are made. It's a very muddy, wet environment. So that wasn't too much of an issue at all. Now, I will say at this point that the town of Barrow is very, very expensive. The reason for that is everything needs to be flown in. So a punnet of strawberries, just to give you some sort of indication from the supermarket, is nearly 18 US dollars. A cup of coffee is about 7 US dollars. And a pizza from Mario's Pizza, the pizza shop in town, great pizza. But a pizza was, I think from memory, around about nearly 30 US dollars. So pretty expensive. And that's just simply because everything needs to be flown in from an ingredients perspective. So it's a very expensive place to travel to be able to stay. So let's come to the photography and talk about that. So there are, I think it was around about nearly 30 species of birds that I was able to confirm that I saw during the 10-day scouting trip. And all of those birds inhabit the Arctic tundra region, which is very, very flat tundra, very, very wet tundra too, that surrounds the town of Barrow. And that's where these birds are coming to nest for the summer and rear their young. So this tundra at this time of year was very, very wet and soggy. So you need waders, hip waders, to be able to walk off from the main road into the tundra and to be able to get close to photographing these birds. Now, having said all of that, the birds themselves I found to be extremely shy and skittish. Whether it was an eider or a loon or a goose, whatever it might have been, a snowy owl, it was extremely shy and extremely skittish. So quite often, just pulling up the four-wheel drive on the side of the road and stopping would be enough to have the eider ducks or the loons already swimming away from the ponds. And the moment you get out of the car, quite often, they would already be starting to fly away. So this was very, very difficult photography. There was only two of us on this scouting trip, so we had very minimal human pressure on the wildlife. And We often split up or took it in turns getting out of the vehicle so as to do our very best not to scare the wildlife, not to scare the birds away. But I still found it very, very difficult. Quite often by the time I was manoeuvring into position on the side of a pond, often lying down in the wet tundra in my waders, I would find that the birds had already left or were too far away now to be able to get anything more than a record shot. So I struggled photographically in this trip. Every image I got, I really, really had to work hard for. I had to make the approach from the vehicle to a photographic position needs to be extremely slow and extremely considered. Now, I know what you're thinking, why not just use a hide? And that would be great if there was a density of birds that was sufficient to be able to use a hide. But that was the other big difficulty that I found up here in Barrow, Alaska. The density of birds was extremely low. In my head, I had thought initially that, or my imagination, that the density of birds was going to be much, much higher. But as it turned out, it was very, very low. And it was only even in the first couple of days of the trip in early June, when there was still quite a bit of snow on the ground, that we actually saw Stella's eiders and spectacled eiders in any significant number. And when I say significant numbers, I'm not talking hundreds of birds. I'm talking maybe 10, 20 birds during the course of an evening shoot. Now, we actually photographed at night because it is the midnight sun this time of the year in Barrow, and that means that during normal daylight hours, the sunlight is extremely bright, the light is very, very harsh, and it's just not a great time to photograph, whereas at night, the sun is at a much lower angle. Typically in Barrow, you also get quite a lot of fog rolling in off the sea ice, which softens the light a lot. So we photographed at night, so that typically meant that we were heading out, having dinner around 6 o'clock in the evening, going back, gearing up, putting our waders on, and then heading out in the vehicle about 7 o'clock and photographing anywhere up to sort of 4 a.m. in the morning, 3 a.m., 4 a.m., coming back, getting a few hours sleep, getting up, having coffee, breakfast, then resting and relaxing until the evening again and just recovering, getting ready for the shoot again. So it's long days, long evenings, I should say, working in the field. It's not an awful lot of walking or hiking involved. we did a couple of very significant hikes. I say significant, really sort of up to 10 kilometers across the tundra. Walking across the tundra up there is difficult. It's wet. The ground is boggy and marshy. It's sticky mud underneath, often slippery with ice. So it's slow going and really, quite often I found, anyway, at least when I was hiking out to birds, that most of the time the birds would fly away before I got into a good shooting position. This happened repeatedly with snowy owls. So we would see a snowy owl sitting out on the tundra. We would try and approach very slowly. Very, very difficult to get close enough to get a full frame image with a 600 millimeter lens with a 1.4 extender. So at 840 millimeters, almost impossible to get full frame. So typically the bird is quite small in the frame and you need to crop. And this was not just snowy owls, excuse me. This was all of the birds that we photographed. The only birds there that we really were able to get very close to were some of the smaller birds, things like the red phalarope and golden plover. Could get quite close to on a fairly regular basis, which was good for the small birds because you can then get decent photographs of them. But for the eider ducks, particularly the eider ducks and the loons, and certainly the geese, the Brandt's goose and the white-fronted goose, very, very difficult to get close to them. There were also a lot of glaucous gulls. We did see sabine gull as well, a flock of sabine gull. I did not see the rhosus gull, unfortunately. That would have been really fantastic, but did not find them on this trip. But all of those birds were extraordinarily difficult to get to, as I've said. Now, what's interesting is, according to the sight guide, mid-June is roughly when the eiders should be nesting. We did not see a single eider duck of any of the eider species, the four species of eider up there, the king eider, the Stella's eider, the spectacled eider, and the common eider. We did not see any of them on nests for the entire 10 days we were in Barrow. We did see some behavior between the eider ducks, but we didn't actually see any nesting. The only nesting I actually saw going on was the geese and the glaucous gulls. So I'm not sure what was going on there, because in our first couple of days when we arrived on the 6th of June, we had very, very good eiders. But 2 or 3 days later, almost all the eiders had already disappeared. And we were very lucky to see maybe one or two in over the course of an evening. So we were there from the 6th of June to the 16th of June. which is prime time. Now, granted, the breeding season is a little late this year, but having said that, the eiders have simply disappeared from Barrow at this time. So I'm not sure what the story is up there now or where they've gone, whether they've gone further south to nest. That may well be the case. I just don't know. But certainly it was difficult to photograph them. Very difficult to get down to eye level. I think it's possible to potentially use one of the new floating hides up there in Barrow, in certainly in the deeper ponds with a dry suit. But because of the density of birds, you might be sitting around for a very, very long time in the water, excuse me, waiting for birds to come in and land in one of the ponds if you're sitting there and waiting. We just didn't find it practical to use hides during this scouting trip. And we had both, actually, Tom and I had both actually packed hides and taken them with us in the hopes that we would be able to use them or at least throw them over ourselves to be able to get closer to the birds. Now, we did have one very, very good encounter with two long-tailed ducks towards the end of the trip that were fighting in one of the ponds, two males. They were completely oblivious to us as we photographed them at the side of the pond. They were just totally focused on each other and the fighting that was going on. That was a pretty fantastic interaction that lasted perhaps 5 minutes, gave some fantastic photographic opportunities. I haven't had a chance to look at those images in detail yet, but I'm quite sure there'll be some good photographs amongst them. That was really the only time I felt that the birds were easy to photograph. The rest of the time, as I've said, I just found it very, very difficult. The birds were hard to get close to. They were easily spooked. They were shy. I don't know how much of that is to do with local behavior. We did see a lot of the local Inuit out hunting goose eggs. And we also heard quite a lot of shotgun blasts and found quite a lot of shotgun shells around the place as well. Now, the snowy owl is certainly protected up there. I'm not sure that's the case for the geese and the eiders. But certainly the locals are hunting goose eggs, and they were out collecting them across multiple days when we were there. We didn't run into a lot of other birders while we were there. I think we probably saw maybe 15 to 20 other people in total during our entire time out there in the field. And we were out in the field a lot. Granted, we were out at nighttime when most people are sleeping, but serious birders, serious photographers certainly are also out there at nighttime trying to photograph in the best light as well. So it was a very, very interesting experience. We did have a couple of polar bear encounters as well, which was also fantastic because Barrow sits at the very northern tip of Alaska, so it's on the ocean, and there's still a lot of sea ice at this time of year. And we had two encounters with polar bears, one with, I think it was a young female, and a second one with a female with two-year-old cubs. So that was fantastic to be able to see and photograph those bears as well. I got some pretty good shots of both of them. I'll probably include them in my written report up on my blog in the next couple of weeks as well. I wonder actually what the potential is for going up there doing a dedicated trip for polar bears, perhaps a little bit earlier than June. That may be possible. That might be something I look a little further into, because the encounters we had were quite good, and I felt that we could have potentially worked out even more. We were not there for polar bears. We were there for the birds, and it was fantastic to be able to see and photograph the eider ducks in their breeding plumage. That was really fantastic, and also the Pacific loons were really beautiful as well. I enjoyed that aspect of it very much. So let's come to the potential for a future trip there and just talk about that. So as I said, this was a scouting trip, and the intention of that was to find out, A, was the infrastructure good enough to run a future workshop there, and B, was the photography good enough to take people there? And the answer to that question is maybe yes to the first part, but no to the second part. So as I said, the infrastructure is basic in Barrow. There is decent accommodation. It's comfortable. It's clean. It's probably what I would call 2.5 to 3 star. It's functional. It does the job and could be certainly used to run a workshop. In fact, I'm pretty sure there were two other photographers up there running workshops when we were there, judging by the size of the groups of people that we saw. The problem is that the more people you have in a group, the more pressure that places on the wildlife and the birds, and the harder it becomes for anybody to get a decent photograph. Now, Tom and I found during our scouting trip that we needed to really take turns to make the best of it. So one of us would stay in the car while one of us got out to try and photograph the birds in the pond that we'd come across, and then we would swap. And even that, just one person, was enough pressure a lot of the time, or most of the time, for the birds to simply move away or fly away. So I can't imagine trying to do that with a group of people and having any sort of success. I think it's going to be extremely difficult. When I saw groups of people out there in the field, when we were there, they were not having any success in getting anywhere near the birds, anywhere near close enough to make anything more than a record shot. Now, some of these people might have been very, very happy to get just a record shot of a Stella's eider or a spectacled eider in its breeding plumage. But I was looking for more than that in my photography. I'm not looking to make record shots. I'm looking to try and make photographic art. And that means I need to be able to get close to the birds. And I think it would be a real struggle to run a trip there with a group of people and be able to get those kind of photographs. Record shots, yes, that's possible in a group. But getting anything more than that, I think, is just very difficult. And I think setting up hides by some of the ponds might have some potential, but it's going to involve many hours of sitting around in that hide, hoping something comes in to land at the water. Some of the bigger ponds, it may be possible to use floating hides. But again, that takes quite a lot of work. It doesn't really work for a group of people either. Floating hides are really an individual pastime, I think. So that's sort of my thoughts on the trip. I enjoyed the scouting trip to Barrow. I can't say that I enjoyed my time in the town. I think the town's an incredibly depressing place. I have some photographs and video of the town, and I'll probably include those in the written trip report, not because I want to sort of cast aspersions on the town. I don't. I just want to show what it was like, and the truth of it is it's a pretty depressing place in my experience. So the photography, as I've said, out on the tundra can be great, but it's difficult with the birds, and that just makes it hard to get anything more than a record shot. I really struggle with it. I think it's one of those places where you really can't have enough lens with you. I shot with my 600mm and a 1.4 teleconverter most of the time to give me 840, and really I could have used my 2X a lot. And it's one of the places I think would be fantastic to have the new Canon 1200mm. That would be a great lens to have, the F8 version. That would let you get closer shots, I think, and be able to get more to fill the frame better than certainly shorter focal lengths just don't work there. So I think just to sum up, I just want to talk a little bit about the site guide that's out there. As I said, I'm not going to link to it because for two reasons. It's out of date. It's more than 10 years old, and it's also very expensive for what it is. I think it would be fantastic if somebody updated that site guide, because things have changed in terms of the infrastructure and the restaurants. But also the site guide itself talks a lot about bird encounters in particular places, and obviously birds move around from year to year, so it's just very out of date now. All you really need to know if you're going up there is the main road is called Kakita Road. If you head out of town onto Kakita Road, the photography begins more or less straight away with tundra on both sides of the road and ponds. Then you'll get to an area called, I think it's Gaswell Road, where there's an intersection. All of the roads that lead off there are good. You can't go more than a couple of kilometres in any direction before the roads come to an end anyway. So it's a relatively easy place to navigate. You can also head out the other side of the airport where there's a small valley. The only part of Barrow that's not really that flat. It has a small valley. We did see quite a few snowy owls there. I think we probably saw around about 10 to 12 snowy owls. So they're there in quite good numbers. But as I said, very difficult to get close to and photograph them. It's not the place to go and get snowy owl images if you want anything more than a record shot. But yeah, that's pretty much it. Those are my thoughts and impressions on photography in Barrow. It's a very interesting place to go there and spend 10 days. 10 days is a long time to spend in a small community like that. The reason I wanted to do it for such a long period of time is I wanted sufficient time in the field, because the time the birds come onto nest and the time the birds turn up and disappear goes very, very fast. You know, if I'd been 2 or 3 days later than the 6th of June this year, we may not even have seen a Stella's eider or a spectacled eider. So going early on the 6th of June and having then the full 10 days meant that we had a pretty substantial hit list of birds, nearly 30 species. I'll need to check the exact number, and I'll post the list in the written trip report when I get to that as well. But as I said, that's it for now on this exploratory trip to Barrow. I won't be heading back. in the foreseeable future. I feel that for the reasons I've listed, it's just not appropriate to be running a sort of photographic workshop there. I think a birding trip there is fine. If you're going just to watch birds or to spot birds and see birds with binoculars and a spotting scope, I think it's works very, very well. But to photograph them, that's a different story. You need to be able to get much closer. So that's it for now. As I said, I'm currently in Dubai. I have one evening here in Dubai tonight, and then tomorrow morning I've got my last flight to Melbourne, where I'll then be based for next couple of months. I've got more or less 2 months of office work ahead of me before getting back to travel again for Finland and Greenland and Iceland later this year. So I'm looking forward to that already. I'm also looking forward to a little bit of time at home, a little bit of a break from travel. That will be nice as well. I've got a few things I want to get done around the house at home before I get ready to go away again. So that's it for now. I'm Josh. It has been the 18th of June, 2023, podcast number 76. Look forward to seeing you out in the field. Take care. Bye-bye.